Hello, everyone, again. Let me just...
Hello.
I've ruined the recording. Well, there you go. They should be here in person. We all love an invitation to a party, don't we? And Shane, thank you for the invitation that you've given me. Where are you? Over there. Thank you for the invitation that you've given me today to preach. We love an invitation. We love a good party. Put your hands up if you love a good party. Oh, good. I'm amongst friends. Brilliant. Well, the story is told of a family that were entertaining some really posh friends. And the hostess, the mother, she wanted to really show that she upheld good Christian standards. So dinner arrived. She turned to her five-year-old and asked him to say grace. I don't know what to say, Mum. And she replied, don't worry, darling, just say what Daddy said this morning. The boy clasped his hands together, closed his eyes and prayed, oh God, we've got those awful people coming for dinner tonight. Now, I wonder how that party went. I don't know. But the parable that Samuel just read to us was about a party. And it started with there was once a man. And this is Jesus as the sort of after-dinner speaker. And we enter this party at pudding stage, or if you're posh, dessert. And the story is very simple. It's a very simple story. Man has a party. He invites his friends. They make excuses. Man gets cross. Man starts again. More invitations. And the Bible heads it up as the parable of the great banquet. I wonder what you would call that parable if you were able to change it. I wondered about the parable of the best excuses ever. Because as soon as those invitations go out, the excuses begin. The sort of yes buts roll off their tongues. Firstly, there was a man who had just bought a field and he had to go and take a look at it. Question, surely before purchasing the field, he would have had a look at it. Secondly, there was a man who'd bought five pairs of oxen and he said he had to go and try them out. Question, surely he would have tried them out and checked them out before buying them. Then there was a man who had just bought a wife. Question. No. Question. Surely she could have joined the feast. Thank you. But we would agree, wouldn't we? They were all pretty feeble excuses. I am sorry, but. And we sit here this morning with, oh, well, I've made far better excuses than those, you know. I'm good at excuses. The best excuses ever. Look at that one. Or I wonder if you've used any of these that I found when I Googled. This is the best excuses for not going out and going to a party. Maybe you've used them yourself, or maybe you need to use them this week. I accidentally superglued my hand to my fridge. I can't leave. I do not usually go out on days that end with the letter Y. Sorry, personal preference. Or I have a court hearing at the same time because I stole the last cookie. What a coincidence. Or what about this one? I like this one. I promise to help a friend clean the toilet. She doesn't like doing it alone. She gets nervous that she might fall in. Some kind of toilet phobia. That's a good one to use. Or what about this one? It's my mum's boyfriend's daughter's niece's pet goldfish's baby shower. And I totally forgot that I'd already committed to that. Pretty useful excuses, or maybe pretty feeble excuses like these ones in the Bible. Because basically, back in the Bible, it was something like, cheers, mate, thank you very much for your invitation, but quite honestly, I'd rather be doing something else. Thanks, but no thanks. I suppose you could say that that invitation came to those people at just kind of the wrong time. It was a sort of inconvenience to their life. So they make excuses. Best parable of the best excuses ever? Or the parable of the consequences? The excuse making had bad consequences, had consequences. And the Bible tells us the master was cross. Not surprised. You know what it's like when you're preparing a feast for people that are coming over. And you do all those macro runs and you make sure everything's in place. He was going to be cross because those excuses were so lame. And I guess also he could have been cross because they cried off. Pretty poor. But here is the nub of this story, because it's a parable. It's a parable, which means it's a story that Jesus told with a spiritual truth. He told parables in order for us to engage with that story, to be challenged, and to learn from it. So there's the master, Jesus. There's the guests. That's us. That's the world. And there's the banquet, the party, a relationship with God. And then there's the invitation. Throughout the Bible, God invites us to have a relationship with him. Right from the pages in Genesis, his one intention, his one goal is that we would know him, that we would walk with him, we would have that relationship. But sometimes I guess we don't often think it's personal. That invitation is for them, but not for me, not for us. And what's unique about the invitation from God is that everyone is invited. There's no, well, we're not going to have them. You know, God doesn't sit there and think, well, who shall I invite today? You know, Tom, well, Tom, he's a nice chap. Like Tom, hasn't harmed anybody. But, you know, he's a bit of a geek, so no invite for him. Or what about God sitting there thinking, now, possibly Melissa and Mabel. Let's think about Mabel. Not Mabel, because after all, she causes trouble everywhere she goes. But no, God doesn't work like that. The invitation is to every single one of us. Every single one of us. But do we make those excuses? Do we think, well, God, I'm not into all that religion stuff. I'm really not. It's just not for me. It's okay for her, but it's not for me. Or, yeah, I kind of like the sound of that invitation, but not now. I'll wait till I've got my life sorted. Do we ever get our life sorted? Or do we think, oh, if only you knew what I was like, God. If only you knew what my life was, what I'm really like inside, you wouldn't invite me. God does know what you're like. And I don't want to get involved with the church. Don't start me on that one. But maybe our excuses are based sometimes on a wrong perception of God. I don't know, any of you like the Far Side cartoons? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say the Far Side cartoons? Gary Larson, yeah? This is one of my favourite. Midvale School for the Gifted. And the door says, pull. What's they doing? Push. You got the idea. Well, there's one that has always, really got to me and really says to me, is that what people think? And it's this one. There we have God sitting in this high-tech computer kind of room. God, old, grey beard, yeah? There he is in the high-tech throne room, and he's gazing through his closed-circuit television monitor, and he watches people go by. And look at his finger. His finger is poised above a button, and above that button is the word smite. Folks, that's what people sometimes think of God, that he is out to get us. He's some headmaster in a room and it's smite. But it's not that at all. We've got to change our perception that God isn't a killjoy. You know, people think, well, I don't know a God that would throw a party and invite invitations. This invitation was to a great banquet. It was a feast. It wasn't a dry bit of bread with a glass of water. God is inviting those people to a feast. And so the invitation is to us. And maybe, just maybe, yes, you've said yes to that invitation. I know you have, because I used to work here, and I know you have. But maybe you left that invitation as the yes, bless you, and it hasn't gotten any further. Because yes, the invitation is there, but it's an invitation to walk with God every single day. To get up in the morning and say, yes, God, you invite me to walk with you today. And for me, that's a yes. And maybe we just need to be reminded. This picture came out a couple of weeks ago. It's in Rio de Janeiro. There you are. Yes, I'm a geography buff. And look at that. That God's got the whole world in his hands. Yes, it might not feel like it, but folks, let's never forget that that is the truth. God has got the whole world in his hands. Yes, the banquet of the parable of the great banquet. Yes, the parable of the best excuses ever. Yes, the parable of the consequences. You see, the word consequence is a result of a particular action or situation, often one that is bad or not convenient. Just like that story, God must really get a bit cross, a bit naffed off when we say, thank you for the invitation, but no thanks. Do we ever feel or know what God might feel at that moment? He might think, you know, I've created you, I've created this world, and you're going to go, no, I'd rather live like this. How do you feel when you get a no to a party that you've invited, and people make excuses? This invitation needs an RSVP. Not I'll wait till something better comes along. It's an invitation to a banquet. It's an invitation to walk every day. And it's an invitation for some of you to think about being baptized as well. But so for me, it is in actual fact the greatest invitation ever. God says to each one of us this morning, whether we've known him for years, or we're just getting to know him now, or we're thinking of getting to know him, he says, here I am. I stand at the door of your life and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Now or later, the decision is yours. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you.